Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I want to say thank you for joining us today for another lesson here in the Conquerors Online Sunday School classes that we are providing for you during this COVID-19 pestilence situation. I want to say thank you so much for your prayers for me and for your love for our class members. Each and every week, we send out a prayer list to those who sign up for that. And I want to thank you for taking time to pray for so many in our class that have been going through so many heartaches and burdens here of late. Many have lost loved ones to death, and many have other ones that are sick and having situations financially that we need to continue to pray for. And I hope that you'll take the prayer list today and take time to look over those names, pray for each one, lift them up in the Lord, and thank you for taking the time to be able to do that. I also want to remind you that, as our pastor has announced, we plan to reopen to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night church services beginning Sunday, June the 7th. We'll not yet have Sunday school or buses running or anything like that until we see how things go, but this is a good start, and we sure do look forward to being able to see each of you when we begin these services on Sunday morning at 10:45, June 7th. It'll be followed that Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and then on Wednesday night at 7. So I hope you'll be looking forward to that. And I want to say thank you also for those of you who have sent me some cards this week or called me or texted me or even come by the house and wished me a happy birthday. I don't make much mention of my birthday, the date of it or anything like that, but if you did that this week, thank you so much. You know who you are, and I love you today, and I just thank you so much for your kindness. Today, we want to continue in this series of Sunday School lessons entitled, So Great Salvation. Today's lesson is lesson number 3, and it's entitled, Having Full Assurance of Our So Great Salvation. Now, there are several passages of Scripture we're going to be going through today, so I hope that you'll join me with the outline there on our website, our Sunday School website. You can scroll down through the outline. You can even print that outline off and follow along with us with the passages of Scripture. And I hope the lesson will be a help to you. I'd like to sum up the lesson today in one statement proclaimed by the Apostle Paul found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Paul stated there, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I'd like to use 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 as our lesson theme verse. And it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," now look at that, know, K-N-O-W, "know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You know, in the book of all beginnings, the book of Genesis, we read first there how that Satan asked this question, "Yea, hath God said?" And throughout all the history of this world, Satan has continued not only to ask this question to all mankind so as to draw away their love and their respect for what God has indeed said, but also Satan asks this question so as to cause other men themselves to doubt what God has said. Because they, even as was the case with the woman there in the Garden of Eden, they were not there when God actually said what he said. And you know, sad to say, this type of thinking has literally caused more confusion within not only our lost and dying world, but within the church and the church body of born-again believers itself than anything else that Satan has ever done or could ever muster up. He has caused doubt and confusion regarding what the Lord has actually said. We see that so often with these different perversions of the Word of God. And he asks the question, "Yea, hath God said?" And this evil method of alluring men and women, boys and girls, away from God's truth and full assurance of what God has said is still running rampant in our world today. Back in the early 1960s, after seeing all the world was becoming and the social and the political stances that our nation as a whole was more boldly taking, there was a courageous and devoted American man that sent forth a message to his listeners that has served for many a year as a harbinger for where the nation of America was and is heading, both socially, politically, culturally, and even spiritually. That American broadcaster was named Paul Harvey, and he rendered a daily news program on the radio from the 1950s all the way up through the 1990s, and he inspired generations of Americans with true stories of goodness and heroism with his daily The Rest of the Story. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2005 for his contributions in this nation, and at his peak, his broadcasts reached as many as 24 million listeners and readers, as some 1,600 radio stations and 300 newspapers carried his program and his columns all across our nation. One particular broadcast, which he entitled, If I Were the Devil, was originally broadcast in 1964 and later updated by Mr. Harvey over the years. In that broadcast, Paul Harvey revealed what he would do if he were the devil, so as to destroy our nation's culture and to undermine our collective standards of society and thinking in general. His message not only has proven to be a prophetic one, but it serves as a warning not only to Americans in general, but to every born-again child of God living across our world today who has forgotten the fact that we have an enemy in this world who desires only to cause us to doubt the Word of God and to cause us to doubt what God has said in His Word, and that He would be willing to do what He said that He would do if only we would trust Him. In Paul Harvey's own words, here is what he said that he would do if he were the devil. If I were the devil, the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole world in darkness. I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I would set about however necessary to take over the world and the United States. I would subvert the churches first, and I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince the children that man created God instead of the other way around. I'd confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. Then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each, in its turn, was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellect, but neglect to discipline emotions. I'd tell teachers to let those students run wild, and before you knew it, you'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. With a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing and judges promoting pornography. Soon, I would evict God from the courthouse and the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. In his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and even church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What do you bet? I couldn't even get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich quick. I'd convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on television is the way to be. And thus, I can undress you in public and lure you into bed with diseases for which there are no cures. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what I've been doing all along. And folks, you know what? The words of Paul Harvey's broadcast continue to resound with prophetic truth in our world today. Satan's plan, not only to cause you and me as born-again Christians to doubt and to reject all that God has said, but even so, Satan's attack against God and all God has done for us continues to reach the ears and the hearts of those who remain lost in a sin-darkened world and who have never heard the truth of God's great love for them at all. They've not heard of His love. They've not heard of His coming judgment upon those who willfully reject God's message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And Satan is truly advancing in his plans. And this is why it's so important for you and I today, who call ourselves Christians, to know whom we have believed, so as to be fully assured of our so great salvation, so that all the world might see and know how to be saved. This is why it is so important for every born-again child of God to have a greater and a fuller assurance of their so great salvation, which comes through, as we will see in our lesson today, the Word of God. Now, I want you to see some things today. I want you to see, number one, the source of full assurance. The source of full assurance comes only from God. In the Bible, God's holy word, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, that word peace here in this verse refers not simply to a circumstantial peace from situations around us, but it refers to an inner peace and an assurance that God gives to those who know Him and who trust Him as the divine controller of all matters in this life, both physically and spiritually. And that deep-seated repose and calmness of soul that only Christ Jesus can give unto those who place their faith and trust in Him, that can never be breached, disturbed, or even taken away by any external agitation. And why is this? It's because our source of full assurance comes only from that relationship that we, as born-again children of God, have with God through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, we read these words, "And this is the record." Now, that word "record" means the proof or the evidence of something that is true. "And this is the record," this is the proof, the evidence, "that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," K-N-O-W, "that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Oh, thank God for this full assurance of our salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ our Lord. The promise given by God still remains true today, even as we read there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, where the Bible, God's holy word, still proclaims to all people that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I also want you to notice that not only is our source of full assurance directly from God, but I want you to notice that the source of full assurance does not come from this world. Now, in the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse number 1, we read these words, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy." He has a conflict. He has a problem with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Boy, does that not describe our nation today? Does that not describe our world today? This old world can never offer the truth of full assurance in God's salvation. And you know why? It's because it does not know the source of that truth. Jesus told that self-righteous, ungodly, religious crowd of false teachers over in John chapter 8, verse 44. He told them, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You see, God so clearly shows us in his word that full assurance in God's salvation can never come from this wicked and ungodly world, even as we see here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Look at it with me there, where the Apostle John writes these words. He writes, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Oh, thank God that our assurance today does not come from this wicked and ever-changing, ever-compromising world, but our true source of assurance of salvation comes from God himself. And how does God do that for you and for me who have placed our faith and trust in him as our own personal Savior? How does God do that? By helping us to further understand that, see in our outline, the source of our full assurance comes from God's Holy Spirit, who now dwells within each and every believer. There again, in 1 John chapter number 4, verses 1 through 4, we read these words, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And he goes on in that same chapter, down in verses 25 and 26, to say this, These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Thank God for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who gives us assurance of God's promises, and who leads us and who guides us in the things of God. And you see, this same Holy Spirit of God resides within the heart and soul of every born-again child of God, so as to provide us with strength and hope directly from the source of our assurance, which is the Lord God Himself. But not only do we have a trustworthy source for full assurance of our salvation, but that giver of assurance also provides those who trust Him as Savior with a song of full assurance. Now I want you to look this morning at the psalmist, what the psalmist David writes in the book of Psalm, chapter 96, verses 1 through 9. Here we see the song of full assurance that displays a new heart. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Thank God for the joyful song that full assurance of salvation places within the heart of every believer. But notice too, that the song of full assurance displays not only a new type of heart within the believer, but it displays a new desire within that heart of the believer. When the Lord God saved me, honey, He changed my wonder, and He gave me a new desire, even as again the psalmist David writes of here in Psalm chapter 95, one chapter back from the chapter we just read, beginning in verse number 1, look at what he said. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. You see, where once we hated the things of God, now, as a born-again believer, God gives us a new desire, and that being to love God and all those things that have anything to do with God, our Savior. In John chapter 14, verse 15, remember what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, which means we will love the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, we read, and hereby do we know that we love Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. And again, in Psalm chapter 97, verse 10, we read these words, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And this song of full assurance shows all the world that God has given unto us a new desire, a new longing to serve and to obey the Lord God who has saved us, as a loving child longs to joyfully serve and obey his parents. But then we also need to consider the song of full assurance that displays the work God has done in our lives. Child of God, the world needs to see that salvation really is real in our lives each and every day, in the good times as well as in the bad. In Psalm chapter 98, verses 1 through 3, David writes, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Oh, that that might be the way that we would see things in our lives today. Child of God, let me ask you, are you allowing the Lord who has saved you to make known his salvation in your life before the eyes of all the world today? That should be the desire in each of our lives, and it should provide for us an ever fuller assurance of God's great salvation in our lives. But not only does God show us the full source of our full assurance and the song of our full assurance, but he also provides the security of our full assurance. You know, in this world, nobody likes to feel insecure about things. I don't want to feel insecure. I don't want to feel insecure in any aspect of my life. And God wants us, each of us, as his dear children, to feel totally secure in our trusting him for our eternal salvation. So he assures us of this great security all throughout his precious word. Now let me just take a few minutes and share with you this morning a few of those places where he shows us as his dear children that we are kept saved by God's power and not through our own power. Look at what Peter writes in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Here the Apostle Peter writes these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Oh, thank God that we are kept saved both today and forever, not by our own power, but by the power of God. But then I want you to notice too what Jesus says about our salvation in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Here Jesus spoke unto the people, and he said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Do you see, dear child of God, what Jesus is telling us here in these verses? This should just excite your heart. There is no way for the devil to ever steal our salvation or to ever pluck us out of the hand of our Savior. Because if he could, then the devil would be more powerful than our Savior. And he would have to be more powerful than God the Father. And he would then be able to pluck us out of our Father's hand. But you see, the Bible clearly says that the devil can't do that. There's no man able to pluck us out of our Father's hand. Because if he could, if the devil could do that, then Satan would be more powerful than God. And we know that that's certainly not the truth. Think about it today, folks. What lies the devil throws out to us just to get us to doubt the promises of God and the faithfulness of God's word. But folks, don't fall for it. Stay in the book and allow the book to stay in you. And realize today that you nor I either are saved or kept saved by our own power, but rather we are saved and we are kept saved through the power of Almighty God Himself. And look at this again, folks. I want you to remember that we are kept safe in God's hand of salvation. It's not our own hand of salvation. It's God's hand of salvation that we are kept safe. Look at what Jesus said again here in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. He's reminding these people, and he's reminding you and me today, that my sheep, he said, hear my voice, and I know them. Oh, thank God that he knows us today. And look at what he said. He said, they follow me. Child of God, are you following? Are you following the Lord today? Keep your heart and your eyes focused on him. He said, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Thank God for this mighty saving and keeping hand. But then I want you to notice, too, that you and I are kept secure by the author and the finisher of our faith. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews writes here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Child of God, don't let the devil weary you or make you think that you are the keeper of your own salvation. It is Jesus who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He did for you and he did for me what we could not do for ourselves. And in so doing, he gives us full assurance and joy of having God's great gift of salvation in our lives. The Apostle Paul summed it all up like this. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35, he asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that when God saves us, he saves us forever. No one and no thing can ever separate us from that great love of God. And we have God's word on that fact today. You see, child of God, it is through the power of the God of our salvation that you and I are indeed birthed into the family of God and are become children of the King of all glory. The psalmist David asked in Psalm chapter 24, verse 8 and 10, he asked this question, who is this King of glory? And then he answers it, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. In verse 10, he asks again, who is this King of glory? And he answers the question again, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Stop and meditate on that. Now this morning, as I begin to conclude this lesson, I want to conclude it with something kind of special. It's special to me anyway, and I hope it will be special to you. I want to conclude the lesson today with an audio excerpt of a message preached by a great preacher of yesteryear, Dr. S.M. Lockridge. He preached a tremendous message many years ago entitled, That's My King, and I would like to play just a 5 or 6 minute portion of that message as we close this lesson on having full assurance of our salvation today. Now, I want you to understand that as he preached this message, honey, he got excited about this great King of our salvation. And you're going to hear that excitement in his voice. And not only in his voice as he preaches, but in the shouts of joy from those in the congregation that were listening to him. And even as I, too, cried and just shouted for joy when I considered the joyous facts of this great King of my salvation. Now, I want you to listen to this short excerpt, and then I'll come back and close out the lesson. The short excerpt is from Dr. Lockridge's message entitled, That's My King. Now, take a listen to this.
The Bible says he's a King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now, that's my King. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my King. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strong God and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. Yeah. That's my King. My King. Yeah. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
Well, glory to God. Isn't that great? Oh, dear child of God, if that doesn't excite your heart to know the great power of the God of our salvation, I just don't know what will. Take joy in knowing that our King has forever secured our souls in the power of His so great salvation, and that we have nothing to fear if we have truly placed our faith in and trust in Him and in Him alone for our salvation. But you know, perhaps you're listening to the sound of my voice today, and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're not saved, and you have no assurance whatsoever that you will ever be able to go to heaven when you die. Oh, my friend, won't you turn to Jesus today? I beg you today, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Please trust Him today and be saved before it's eternally too late. The Bible so earnestly reminds us of that debt for sin that must be paid, and how that each of us deserves to pay that debt for our sin and be forever separated from the holy God who so loved us and gave Himself for us in that awful eternal lake of fire and torment called hell. Don't wait. Please do as the Bible says do, that you might be saved today. Call on the name of the Lord. Repent of your sin and ask Him to save you today. Rest secure in God's eternal promise that is given unto every man, woman, boy, and girl in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, where we read this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, my friend, why don't you bow your head right there today and call upon the Savior and ask Him to save you? And then you can have the assurance of your salvation. For the Bible plainly tells us that this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Please, dear lost friend, please choose to come to Jesus today and be saved. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, God, I love you today. Thank you, Lord, so much for giving us the full assurance of thy great salvation. God, you've given it to us through your word. You give it to us through your sweet Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that, God, you can't lie. And God, that you hold us in the palm of your hand. We're kept saved by your great power. And Lord, if there be someone today that's not saved, that's listening to the sound of my voice, help them, Lord, today to come, repent of their sin, and call upon your name and ask them to save you before it's eternally too late. And God will thank you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today for this lesson entitled Having Full Assurance of Our So Great Salvation. Now, don't forget, join us here on our church website as we live stream our Sunday morning preaching service with our pastor, Dr. Norris Belcher. It begins at 10:45 this morning, and then you can come back again tonight at 6 p.m. for more great preaching and hear from our pastor. And then again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, you can hear the midweek Bible study service as well. Again, Conquerors, we love you today. We miss seeing you, and we so certainly hope that we'll get to see you again come June the 7th. I hope that the lesson has been a help to you. May God bless you until we meet again next Sunday.